Okay, so well, I'm glad you guys are here. Welcome to the 2026 Coastline Christian Fellowship Marriage Retreat. Yeah, that's okay. You can clap, holler. Yeah, awesome. Just wanted to say a few things tonight before we go into a time of worship. You know, kind of the vision for tonight and tomorrow is just to, it's pretty simple. It's just to facilitate a place and a time for married couples to be together. Simply be together, to get away from the busyness of life, from the craziness of schedules and all the things we have going, and just be with our spouses. Amen. We believe there's a lot of value in that. And also to just take this time being together and consider our marriages, perhaps assess our marriages, where we've been, where we are, and where we're going as married couples. And also to learn from God's word, how we can be building our marriage in terms of thinking of where we're at now and where we're going, how to learn from his word, be in fellowship with Jesus and following him so that our marriages will glorify the Lord. You know, the Bible says that our marriages are a picture of Christ and the church. And so just a simple time to be together and learn from him and be blessed. And so my hope and our hope and prayer is that after we just have some time to be together with your, when you have some time to be together with your spouses alone, not all together. No, but seriously, my prayer is that after tonight and tomorrow, that you guys won't wait until the next marriage retreat to do something like this, but that we would learn and be taught to take time, intentional time with your spouse, and invest in your marriage. Something that we can just be blessed by now and then look forward to in the future. And so I know that, you know, some of you right now may be in a season of where you're like, man, my marriage is just really good. I feel like I'm just super blessed. God's been, you know, doing amazing things in my life and amazing things in my marriage, and that's great. Praise God for that. Some of you are just maybe kind of like, eh, I don't know. Like, I think my marriage is okay. I don't really know. You know, it might be a good time to ask some questions. You know, is it? And some of you, I realize tonight, might be in a really rough place, in a really hard place, in a place where you're like, I don't even know if I'm going to be married next year. And I want you to know that you're not alone. No matter where you are in your marriage, no matter where you're at in life and your walk with Christ, you're not alone. All of us have gone through all of these things. There's, you know, there's no fear or doubt or problem that's unique to just you. And that we're here to bear each other's burdens and learn from the Lord with what he would, how he would have us move forward. Amen. And so I just want to share one verse. It's 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him." And Lord, we take great comfort in that verse tonight, that you are looking to and fro across the face of the whole earth. And Lord, you're looking for people. You're seeking after people to give strong support. And Lord, we recognize we need your support, just as individuals, but also, Lord, just in our marriages, we need your support. We need your strength. We need your direction. Lord, we need your support, and we just want to have our hearts blameless towards you tonight. I pray that each one of us would take that to heart, Lord, that we would really take stock of what's in our heart, Lord, that I would take stock of what's in my heart, and that my heart would be laid bare before you, and that we would be in that place to be able to accept strong support from you in our marriages. And so, Father, as we just take a little time to worship you, we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our minds, open our understanding, and prepare us for what you would want to teach us tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, well, good evening, everyone. First one to do is introduce my wife and our family. This is my beautiful wife. She's put up with me for 43 years. If we can make it to May 22nd, it'll be 44. Anybody else been married longer than that? All right, we're going to give ourselves a prize. All right, good. So, Marcus, would you put that picture of a family, and I'm going to let my beautiful bride here introduce our family. We will have Cindy just introduce herself, and anything you want to say, that the floor is yours. So,
okay.
But I'll put the flag up.
I can raise my flag.
All right,
Go. Well, that's how we first met. Mm-hmm. That's what we're joking about. I'll tell you about that. Yeah. So my husband lived in Kansas, and I had lived there until I was about 5, and then we moved to Mississippi. So if you hear a little drawl there, that's where it's coming from. I lived there till I was 16. So we moved to Kansas, and my dad put us in the Christian school, and his dad was the pastor of the church where the school was at. And lo and behold, they sat me right by him. But it wasn't a normal school. It had these little walls between each desk, so we couldn't talk to each other or anything like that. Well, I had never been in a private Christian school, so I didn't know I wasn't supposed to talk in the learning center. And so the first thing I did was I peeked my head around the corner and said, "Hey," and I asked him a question about something, and then he said, "Shh, you're not supposed to talk in the learning center." So I said, "Okay, what am I supposed to do?" He said, "Put your flag up on the little," there's a divider, and there was a little hole, and you could put the American flag right there that you can buy at the Dollar Tree, you know. And so you stick it there, and then a supervisor will see it, and they'll come by, and you can ask them the question. So that was way more than he said, but I got the gist of it. So I put my little flag up there, and they came around. His side of the story is that I've never stopped talking since. Bummer, because we have a beautiful family, and I wanted to show them off. You already know one of them, Hannah, Day, and Justin. Hannah is our daughter. She's our baby. So she just had her fourth, or they would be here, and then I could talk to her about... No, I'm just teasing. But anyway, we have three lovely children. They all, by God's grace, serve the Lord. They're in church. They're teaching their children how to love God and love others. And our hearts are full because of that, because I know that there are broken hearts. There's a lot of mamas and daddies that are sad because their children go wayward. So it is truly by the grace of God. We've told them that we have an account set up for them for counseling because of my mothering. So sometimes I say, "Mom, I need a draw on that. Could you give me some? I need some counseling." Anyway, we love our kids, and they love us. Which is crazy. This last year, we've lived with all three of them off and on, so that's how much they love us, and we feel honored and humbled to have them love us like that, but we're grateful.
So our journey, you know, we lived here for a short time, some of mm-hmm. you, we know you guys,
yeah.
And...
you're our faves.
And then God called us to California, and because... there's a great need of California, people getting
they need
to
Jesus.
Know Jesus. And so, but anyway, we went down there for 10 years, and then we came back. And as our heart's desire to be around our kids and grandkids, and that's the way we want to finish the season of life. We feel like that God will allow us to do that, and whatever that might look like. But we've been living with our kids, and it's been a wonderful thing to get reconnected with our grandkids and our kids. And, you know... family's all about, it's all about family, you know. If you get that right in life, you have done something wonderful. And it starts with your marriage, doesn't it? And so we're going to talk about marriage and how we can move into towards oneness. So that's what the whole lesson about. If you got a handout, you have ability to take notes. If you got a pen, If not, maybe borrow one, and I will say stick to the notes as much as I can. And I just appreciate Pastor Eric and Allie and many of you that I've gotten to know, and just getting to know Stephen and April, and now they're, you know, they're moving up to a very needy area, growing area. So I know God's going to use them in a powerful way. And when I first met my wife, Cindy, she was from Mississippi. I mean, deep South Mississippi. Y'all? And we would, when I first met her, like she was said, I would ask her, we would ask her questions just to hear her talk, but she would say, you know, just to hear the, what y'all want to talk about, you know, that type of thing. And, but I saw something right from the start. There was not only outward beauty, but there was an inward beauty that attracted me to her right from the start. I remember we, at that time, I don't know, I'm dating myself, but we had actually type classes where you learn how to operate a typewriter. I know some of you, you remember getting taking typewriting or type classes and stuff. And so she was waiting on my best friend, and he was goofing off when in school when he should have, you know, already been done with it. But she just sat out there just patiently waiting. And that was the first thing, time that I thought, wow, she's so patient, so sweet, you know. She would sit there and wait for all that. And so, but then I got to know her as well and her walk with the Lord, and God did a wonderful work in our lives, and I'm so glad that she has stuck with me after 43 years, and it's been wonderful. I want to talk tonight about moving towards oneness. It is so important for us to get this concept tonight. So let's read, first of all, in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, or it's possibly in your notes, and if we can get it on the screen, I don't know if Marcus is working on it, but I appreciate Marcus. I threw this on you at the last moment, and so...
Pastor Gary, I got Saturdays, but not Fridays.
Okay.
I have the outline.
It's in your text.
Yeah.
Is it?
I got Saturday's PowerPoint for marriage, but I do not have Friday.
Okay.
Friday, didn't, can you resend it?
I'm talking about the Word documents, all right, Stephen?
That's what I got. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So you sent it to him?
Here, let me show you what I got here.
Maybe I sent it to the wrong guy.
We probably just got the wrong
guy. That's happened before.
I got this one. I got that one, but I don't have the other one.
Okay, Friday night, here's
oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
You gonna email it to me?
Are you still at the same address? Yeah. Have you changed? Okay, what do I need to do?
Here, I can send to myself.
Hey, are you
all right. Stand by.
Like, 90-second reading?
Pastor Gary's going to talk about whatever's on his mind for a second here.
There it was. That was all I had. You got the best. That was it. Hey, so while he's doing that, I'll get a little bit deeper in our personal relationship. So maybe this is a God thing.
Right.
So, you know, you see us up here and what Eric talked about in his thoughts. There is no perfect marriage. And I want to tell you, if you are going through something, or when you go through something, realize that we all are in the same boat trying to figure this out. We're still trying to learn how to dwell together. I think that's one of the beautiful things about marriage, is because you never get to that place where you think you have arrived. And so I was going to share this later on, but maybe this is a good fit. So when Cindy and I got married, we we said our dues, you know, our at the, you know, the altar, and got married in the church and all that. And I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Christian home, and you know, this just went past me about how marriage works. Don't laugh. But I really thought that, hey, when I got married, all this pursuing and you know, going after her was done. Yeah. It's like going on a hunt, you know? You got the game. Come on. Take it back home. It's done. Let's enjoy life together. I mean, literally, that's what I thought. And I had to learn the hard way, and I'm still learning. But that again is the beautiful thing about marriage. It is a mystery. And it's like your relationship with God. You know, you never come to a place where you think that you have learned everything about God, right? You're still learning. You probably learned something maybe even today or this past week. Maybe the message from Sunday. And you said, well, I've never thought about that. And that's the beautiful part about the relationship that you have with God, that you never come to a place, that you're always looking for. And you're coming, you know, as married couples, we come to a marriage tree and expecting to learn something or expecting God to do something in our heart, because we know that we haven't come to a place where we know it all. We haven't come to a place, you know, and I feel like sometimes like a hypocrite standing up in front of people talking about how to have a good marriage when there are times, and I'll give you an inside joke, inside tip. This is the first time, and I've spoke at quite a few marriage conferences. This is the first time that me and my wife did not have a fight before the marriage conference. I mean, this is something I'm maturing in my marriage. I'm arriving. So maybe I do belong up here. No. I just tease it. Yeah. No. But I'm just sharing because I want you to know that we're all on the same level at the foot of Jesus, working on stuff that we have in our life. And so for those that you think that you may think, well, you know, if I was like them, or I'm married to them, or, you know, somebody like that, it's, we're all together, and God is doing a wonderful work in our life. Okay, Stephen, you're still working on that?
Yes.
Okay, that's okay. Let's go ahead and go forward with the lesson this morning, or this evening, and he can catch up with this if he can, okay? All right, and I do appreciate Marcus. Thank you for all that. So in Genesis chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. If not, or just listen. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone.'" Now, ladies, this is your time. You go, mm-hmm.
Amen.
So I'm going to read it again. Just give you a cue there, all right? "It is not good that the man should be alone."
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. Amen. And then he says, "I will make him a helper fit for him." And God said, the first something is not good in the scriptures. He created everything. Man is lonely. And ladies, you know, it's Eve was the answer for his basic need, which was companionship. Tim Keller said this. I thought this was good. And he has a great book called The Meaning of Marriage. He said that every famous sociopath killer was single. Well, you think of that. So Adolf Hitler, yeah, he was single. I mean, he had a girlfriend. So I'm just saying that, wives, you have kept many of us from being a mass murderer. That's where we're at. You do something for us. You fit us. You take care of our a need that man has had since the beginning of time with Adam. And he says, verse 19, "Out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man. While he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. God performed the first surgery. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. There's an old Jewish tradition here about this. It's a comment saying that God made woman not out of man's foot to be under him, nor out of his head to be over him, but she was taken from under his arm that he might protect her, and from next to his heart that he might love her. Verse 23, then the man said, this at last, I don't know if it says in the Hebrew, but it's just in my own thinking, imagination. Adam, when he said, this is at last, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she should be called woman because he's taken on man, that he said, this is at last, and maybe that meant like, it's about time. You remember, God had revealed to him, because he talked about this loneliness, and then he had him name the animals, and they came by, and two by two by two by two, and then he was scratching his head. Oh, these living creatures have partners, mates, but I don't have a mate. I'm just wondering, I don't know, and I'm just liberty here, my imagination, I'm just sharing this, but I'm wondering if they didn't have a conversation with God about this. God, you got paired up with all the animals, but God, and not that you aren't enough, God, that's not it. God, I wanted someone for me. Well, God answered his prayer. God answered his need, and God does that. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. See, God had revealed his need for companionship. And he did that through that process of waking him up and being aware of the animals having mates. And I would imagine that when Adam saw Eve, and he said, oh, there's somebody that looks like me. Nobody else on earth looks like me. And we can presume, because she was made by God, that she was stunningly beautiful. But she could have been the ugliest woman on earth, and he didn't know, and nothing to compare her to. I don't know. All right. And he could have said to Eve, of all the women in the world, I have chosen you, and I would choose you again. Well, she was the only one. And Eve could have responded, well, you didn't pick me. I was handpicked by God for you. And then she could have said, I'm the answer to all your problems. Oh, I don't know. Let me say this about equality. As people get messed up on that, couples get messed up on that. Men and women are different. Are they equal? I like what Elizabeth Elliot said. She said this, in what sense is red equal to blue? They are equal only in the sense that both are colors in the spectrum. Apart from that, they are different. In what sense is hot equal to cold? They're both temperatures. But beyond this, it is almost meaningless to talk about equality. God made you unique for purpose as well as for your mate as well. And it's a beautiful thing when they come together, because he made them to fit together. To actually, as we're going to talk about, they complement each other. And the two shall become one flesh. Though it's an initial bond, you know, the physical attraction, you know, the sexual intimacy there that is there for a couple, but God means more for that oneness of the one flesh. I mean, it means more than that. It means that it's becoming one in the physical sense, but then it's also in the, you know, in the heart, the emotional, and spiritually. That it's a process that to become one. And I'm afraid that going through marriage and go through life, that sometimes we give up on that process. But it's a process, and it's a lifelong process. And though Cindy and I have been married for coming up to 44 years, we're still in that process, becoming one. Marriage and this thought about oneness is important because God repeats it over and over in the scriptures. And I love it was on your little schedule that you got, Matthew chapter 19. It says in verse 3 to 6, and the Pharisees came to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And he answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Boy, I like that because it's very distinctive how God made two different sexes in the beginning, and that's it. There's not three or four or 24. Male, in the beginning, he created male and female. And he said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. And then God adds this. He said, whatever, therefore, God has joined together, let not man separate. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 28, it says in Ephesians 5:28, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become flesh. I don't know about you in your wedding ceremony. Did you have the unity candle? Yeah, we did. No? All right. Some did, some didn't. You know what that unity candle was? Well, you know where the bride had one candle and the groom had the other, and they would come together and they would light that. And those two flames would merge, and then we'd blow out the candle that we wouldn't, you know, the unity candle would. We miss no purpose if we kept the candle lit. I'm going to be my own person. No, we sacrificed. We blew that out. We pushed that aside and said, no, God has designed us. There were one person as whole as can be and another person as whole as can be, and then they come together, and God has a new design for that. Two people come together and being whole in the sight of God. And so God has a new design for what oneness will look like in our life, in our marriage. Anybody just newly get married? Anybody?
There's a couple back.
At the back? How long?
Monday.
How many?
Monday. They got married on Monday.
Monday. Monday, this last Monday? Well, I hope you make it to next Monday. Right. Well, that's awesome, and being here in a Mary's conference. Oh my goodness, great! Oh my goodness, I can't believe. Did you know that? Oh, my wife has a prize for you. So later on, we'll get it to you. All right.
So.
Well, unless there's anyone that's been married after Monday.
Oh yes. Anybody? Oh, goodness. Who's been married like a year or two? Anybody? Wait, how long you guys been married?
A little over 2 years.
2 years? All right, awesome. All right, very good. Well, you know, you're at the very start of this. And we're all in this and the same, even though you've been married since Monday and you're starting to figure. Oh, you guys, you're still in the honeymoon age. You know, you know, but when you get out of the honeymoon, no. I'm just teasing. But there are things that will happen in life. And but then God has this new design that he is designing you to even more since Monday or 3 years or however long you've been married, that God still has the desire for you to even grow in your oneness together. You know, in the law, in the second law of thermodynamics, entropy happens when something is left to itself, it slides into decay and disorder. You know, God when God set the sun in place and so forth, and his energy, it was the energy or the power from him that caused the sun and the stars to light. And but you know, the sun is slowly, you know, diffusing its heat, you know, and it's slowly, and as well as all creation, as it will slide into decay and disorder. And our marriages are like that. It's like your refrigerator. The refrigerator keeps food fresh by using energy to pump heat out. And a marriage requires constant energy input to stay cool and healthy. If you unplug it, you stop putting effort into the system naturally decays. So like what I said, you know, earlier, that I thought, you know, well, I'm just going to coast. I've got my marriage. And it's, you know, I don't have to put anything in it. It's good. We're married. Got the ring. Got the certificate. The ceremony. Check off. Now we just work on kids, you know, the fun part. And so do all that. Listen, the natural tendency for a relationship is to move towards disorder, emotional distance, if left unattended. Just to remind you, that this suggests that starting on your wedding day, your marriage will begin a slow downward slide, that is, unless you take action. This is a call for action to continue this oneness. Marriage is work. There is a cost, you know, for you to be here. It took work and effort, the sacrifice. We have to continue to make deposits in our marriage so that they may continue to go forward and grow. Here's the way Dr. James Dobson put this on the Focus on Family. Listen to this. Not so surprisingly, human relationships also conform to the principle of disintegration. The natural tendency is for husband and wives to drift away from each other unless they work at staying together. To provide another analogy, it is though they were sitting in separate rowboats on a choppy lake. If they don't paddle vigorously to stay in the same neighborhood, they do nothing. One will drift to the north of the lake and the other to the south. This is exactly what happens when marital partners get too busy or distracted to maintain their love. If they don't take time for romantic activities and experiences that draw them together, something precious begins to slip away. Doesn't have to be that way, of course, but the currents of life will separate them unless efforts are made to remain together. I'm glad you're here. You're making an investment in your marriage. You're putting something in that will help your marriage from drifting and halting the drift, and you're moving closer. You're spending time together. You're going to talk about these things. And so I want to give you a big idea tonight, and this is kind of the one point, the big point of this is this, that no marriage remains motionless. You are either drifting towards isolation or moving towards oneness. Did you get what I'm saying? I'm saying that your marriage doesn't just remain this. Fixed. Well, the Bible talks about the word fixed. It means it's like permanent. But your marriage is it has movement, and we can have it to do nothing, and it will cause it to drift. And you don't have to do anything. You just have to forget, and you just have to not pay attention. You just not have to be present. You just not have to spend time. You just have to do nothing. And your marriage, your relationship will suffer. You will drift, and it will drift to more and more isolation. You know, breakups usually don't happen like that. It's over a period of time and it's the little things, the small things that we forget to do or we don't pay attention, you know, and all that. And it causes us a little by little to break down, and we move to isolation. But on the other part, on the good part, and this is where we want to be, is that we're putting effort, we're putting work in it, and it's causing us to remain close and stay closer and stay closer to build that oneness. No marriage remains motionless. You either are drifting towards isolation or moving towards oneness. And we get to make the choice to be intentional in our marriage. Or it can be like Sergeant Schultz on Hogan's Heroes. What does he say? I see nothing. I hear nothing. I'm going to do nothing. All right? God's plan for a marriage is that two would become one. It involves uniting two whole and separate people into a new God-designed and God-purposed life. It's coming together. I want to ask you this question. It's in your notes, and I just want you to like converse with your mate for just a moment. When you first married, what were some of your dreams for doing life together? And so let's just have like a little breakout with your just little couple right here, and just talk with you. And the people that married, the couple married Monday, you got this really easy to so you should be done like in 20 seconds, but. Let's just talk, share something about what were some of your dreams for doing life? Do you remember when you first married? What were some of those dreams? I want you to just sit down and talk about that, okay? All right. Your permission to talk. All right. You can continue that conversation if you need to, but a couple of more questions that I want you to think about, and then later on I want you to talk to your spouse about this, but what does oneness look like for you in our marriage? And what does isolation look like to you in your marriage? And I want you to say those things, well, how you see it, and then your spouse will share that as well. You know, in this thing about oneness, there are a lot of things that can cause this oneness to deteriorate, decay. And so I might ask Cindy to speak to that and however she wants to
share that. Okay. First of all, you don't know what you people that were just married, you're strangers right now. 44 years later, whoever that was, I don't know who it was. 44 years later, we know each other too well. No, it's all good. But we're strangers when we first meet, and then you start to get to know, wow, this didn't happen when we were dating. Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. His breath smells in the morning. Anyway, so for things that can really work on tearing up a marriage, there's a lot of life that happens. Matter of fact, it's all of life. You could fill in your own blank personally. I'll give you a few that we've thought of, but it could be caring for parents. We just went through this with my parents, aging, dying, and so that's part of it that can shut down a marriage, especially when you're in Kansas and I'm there and he's here for months sometimes. Blended families, that's a huge one. Blended families are hard. The other spouse and the new spouse maybe not getting jealous or what. You can fill in your own blanks. I'm not going to tell you what your story is if you have that story, because I don't I'm not sure what that would be, but you know. Health, our health as we get older changes. Even when we're young sometimes, it can be very heavy. Trust issues, having kids, that changes everything. Mm-hmm. Lots. And exhaustion from that. How many are exhausted, you know, from the family life? Yeah, sometimes, especially when they're younger, they take a lot more energy, and so that's harder. Jobs, loss of a job or a new job, and they're taking all the time, your husband's time or your wife's time. They're just nickel and diming you for, you know, you got to stay for that or this. That can be also a loss. Self-centeredness. Nobody in here is self-centered, I'm sure. But I know I can tell you my story of my self-centers, and I probably could tell you some. No, I'm. I don't live this life. No, but seriously. You know what I've learned about marriage? It's not about them. It's about me. It's about what God wants to perfect in me and make me more like His Son. So that's really the issue. It's not about them. And now that's hard to hear, and it's hard to come to that conclusion, but that is the absolute truth. Because women, you're going to stand on your own before Jesus too. So you need to be prepared and just look at yourself, not the other one. Same for the man. Except you have double. You've got to give account for us too. Wow. I'm glad I'm not a man. I like being a woman. Okay. Am I done?
Yeah.
I can, okay.
Yeah. So this oneness thing, there is going to be barnacles that would try to attach to your marriage that would try to drag you down. You have to watch that. You know, one of the greatest things, and I'm just going to speak just briefly on this, but sex has become twisted through pornography. And every one of us had in some way been affected by that. God meant sex to be a wonderful thing, is a great gift, and great sex happens when the focus is on serving each other and not on getting our own needs met. But now porn has come, and I like what this pastor said, Jonathan Holmes. He explains it this way about the sexual fulfillment, because it's so readily accessible. He said this, he said, it's easier to type in a web address than it is to pursue intimacy. It's easier to view pornography for a few fleeting moments than to build a deep and abiding marital relationships. It's easier to selfishly fulfill personal desires with no expectation of self-giving, self-sacrificing love for my spouse. This is not only just in the world, but it's as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, this is something that we have to intentionally avoid to if we want to have oneness in a marriage. Great sex does take work in a marriage, and negotiating this relationship can be challenging at times. And so we can find it easy to move through life married but not together. And oneness can be gradually replaced with isolation. Instead of lovers, you can become roommates. God has designed marriage and what he loves to experience in himself with the Trinity, oneness. And he placed this oneness in our heart. And just as he has experienced this oneness with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, there was this perfect relationship with each other and a joy, and he wants us to experience that kind of relationship that's perfect, that's one with each other. And that's his desire for us to experience this, not only in our marriage, but in our family and in our church. God's original design for marriage is better than our best dreams for marriage. But you have to be intentional about it. You have to work at it. You have to invest in it. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in love, honoring another above yourself. Peter says in First Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. That's that intentional understanding, intentional learning about them. And this is true even in our relationship with God. God says we're to love him with all our mind, heart, and strength, and seek and walk and pursue God by reading his word and praying and being part of a church family and have brothers and sisters that walk with Jesus in our life and learn of Christ. It's easy to let that slide and not be so intentional about it. And we move away from our closeness from God to where that we have moved away from where we were once we were with the Lord. Back to the rowboat analogy, you know, the two people in the boat, they got their rows, their oars in the water, and they're working to stay together. And that's sometimes just like life. And sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it takes a great effort. You go through those struggles, and maybe you're going through a struggle right now. But I just encourage you to keep pursuing that oneness. And I like to think about God in this fashion as well, and how that God, when he pursues us, in his boat, the back of his boat is a full-blown 427 Hemi heading our way to be with us. I mean, there's nothing that he wouldn't do to have this relationship. He pursued from heaven to earth. It cost him the cross, the suffering, the being humiliated, because he absolutely wants a deep, meaningful relationship with us. I pray that this will be true in our marriage as well, that like as God pursues us, that we can pursue each other. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Let's close out with prayer and thoughts, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Eric. Actually, my wife's going to come up after me, then Pastor Eric. But let's pray and think about whatever God touched your heart tonight. And maybe that we just need to make a pause in our life, and it's not by purpose that you don't do things you used to do, or maybe that you've allowed something to come in between you and your spouse. And let's just clear that out. Let's just allow God to do a work in our heart right now, to halt the drift, to bring us back closer together. May this be like a reset, a reboot, and say, yes, I'm touched by something in my life or something that has happened in our marriage, and I want to get back in a place where we need to be. And maybe you hear it tonight, it's been said already, that you know things are going good. And so just keep your guard up, walk circumspectly. I mean, that there are some things that no doubt all of us are going to experience this year or later on in life. And we just have to be ready. We have to be intentionally on purpose that as God said, that nothing would separate us from him, and that we would say, by God's grace, by God's help, I'm going to allow nothing to separate from me from walking and pursuing oneness with my spouse. And just make a determination, by God's help, by God's grace, we're going to have, 44 years of marriage. We're going to have, a long time together until he returns. Father, I ask your blessings upon each marriage tonight. God, do continue to do a work in our lives to bring us closer to you and to each other. And we're grateful for what you have done so far. Glad that this young couple have joined us. Brand new. God, we just surround them right now in our prayers and ask a special blessing upon their marriage. May they avoid some of the mistakes that we have made. May they be around godly people who have strong marriage, and that they can learn the wisdom of what it takes to have a marriage not only in length and time, but a closeness, a oneness marriage. That God, that you want to give each of us. And so I pray that for this young couple and other couples that are newly married. Thank you, Lord, for just your grace and patience in our life and working through our marriages to make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Cindy's going to speak to now with some homework, and then Pastor Eric can close us with final words.
You see your marriage checkup? That's for you. No double dating this weekend. That's a no-no. You are here with your spouse. Don't be going out having coffee with another couple. It is you and your spouse. I'm just putting that out there. I don't know any of you, but I know it's a temptation. I'm sure y'all all love each other, and that's great, but do it another night. This is you two. So there's some suggestions for you. You remember when we talked in Genesis 2 how we bear the image of God? Tonight, when you look at your spouse, remember they're the image of God. So whatever you say and how you say it, you're saying to God. That helps me a lot with relationships that are tough. So look at them and remember that. So it takes a lot of humility to sit and hear. Doesn't mean it's true, but our perceptions are our perceptions. God can change the perception. You don't have to force that change. So let the Holy Spirit work in that. It takes a lot of humility. I would suggest the two questions that Gary read earlier that you're supposed to, the isolation and oneness, what is your view? Do that alone. Write it down. And then on this checkup page, it says to visit that page. And then come together and talk about it. Don't just come and talk. Let's really think about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal your heart in that. Where are we at on this? Can I tell you that 2 years ago, my husband and I, a little over 2 years ago, went to a marriage conference, and we weren't in a good place. It was hard for me. So I know that some of you here might not be in a good place, but it's okay. These questions will help you talk it out and regain that closeness, because by the time we were leaving, we were much better because we stopped and talked and communicated. So reflect first before you talk. And then, don't talk to your spouse. This is what you do. This is why I feel isolated. You don't do that. This is how I feel. I feel like we're over here, and sometimes I feel alone. Or just God will tell you how to do that. But that's your homework tonight. So have fun.
All right, let's hear it for Gary and Cindy. Yeah, thank you guys for sharing. Thank you. So I have a little homework assignment for you as well. Yeah, more homework. I really like just the idea of oneness. And sometimes when we're married, you don't feel like you're one. You guys ever feel like that? Sometimes like, I don't know, the Bible says we're one flesh, but I feel kind of separated from her right now, or he feels distant from me, or there's something, like they were saying, like sometimes we let things in and we kind of get distance and we kind of feel like, I don't know if I believe that. But can I tell you tonight that if you are married, you are one flesh. That is true. And there's nothing that can change that. And so don't believe the lie that, we're not really one, we've drifted, whatever. No, you are one. You are one flesh because you made a covenant with each other and before God, and he did something when you were married to join you together, something mysterious. I can't explain it, but you are one flesh. And so don't forget that. It says in Ephesians 5, he who loves his wife loves himself. And in verse 29, it says, "No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it." And so if you're neglecting your spouse, if you're, quote unquote, hurting your spouse, hopefully there's no one abusing each other or whatever, but if there's that neglect in that way, you're hurting yourself. You're not only hurting your spouse, you're really hurting yourself. And something that fosters oneness more than anything else, I would say, is having sex. And there's something mysterious. There's walls that are broken down. There's a work that God does in our hearts with our spouses when we have sex. God gave us sex. It's a gift. Like Gary was saying, the world has perverted it. Pornography has perverted it. It's made it something that it was never meant to be, but it's meant to be one man, one woman for one lifetime. And God wants us to enjoy us having sex with our spouses. And so that is also one of the reasons why we encourage you to get a room, have a place down here, set a time aside so that you will have sex with your spouse. I heard a pastor one time, I'm just going to say it, I prayed about whether I should say this or not. I heard a pastor one time say this, if it's been longer than a month since you've had sex, you either need to do it or get help. Get counseling, talk to someone. And I don't want to say that flippantly because I know that could be, hopefully it's not the case, but maybe some of you guys just need to have sex tonight. And God will do a work.
Amen.
Amen. So that's my homework assignment for you all. And look, I realize that, you know, there could be extenuating circumstances. Please don't misunderstand me. Like, oh, we have to have sex now or whatever. But if you have a great sex life, praise God. But consider these things. I believe the Lord would have us just consider these things for our marriages. Amen. So, Father, we do thank you. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much that you have made us one flesh, husbands and wives, with our spouses. You've made us one flesh. And Lord, we want to lean into that truth. And Lord, if the enemy has whispered lies in our ears and our minds and our hearts saying, well, you guys, you're not really one. She doesn't really. He doesn't really. Lord, would we throw that stuff in the trash tonight? And Lord, would you bring each one of us together however you want to, Lord. We just lay that before you tonight and ask that you would do a great work in us through your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you guys.